This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody.
Got stuck in a bit of traffic this morning, so apologies for the late start. What's happening, Pumelele? You good?
Ooh, put me with the polka dots.
Yes, look at her.
Absolutely.
The category is polka dots.
I hear that in my voice. Have you seen it?
That's a quote from your new favorite series to watch.
When I get dressed, when I'm like bringing it, I look at myself in the mirror and I hear it in my head. The category is.
I'm happy it's Thursday and it's like a mini Friday. I really am.
Yeah, it's a fake Friday.
I know, and I'm thrilled. Anything fun planned for the long weekend?
I'm recovering from last weekend.
Oh, yes, yes.
And especially now, I'm not asking for sympathy, but I can feel myself getting sick.
Uh-oh.
So this weekend is actually perfect timing. I'll be spending this weekend getting this bit of a cold out. Because,
that's a good plan.
No one asked me to wear a shirt, but only button two buttons.
Well,
there
actually,
was living like Miami Vice.
I was going to tell you from your Instagram, which I saw. I didn't even think you had one button. Yeah, you had no buttons on at that stage.
No one did. Sure. But there I was on my own accord at like 3 a.m. So, of course, I'm bound to get sick. So, I'm feeling a little sniffly and nasally.
Okay, well, nothing like a long weekend to get better. But August is well and truly here. And before you know it, it's going to be December. I hate to say that because it's
5 months away.
I know. Well, four.
Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, clips once. Yeah. I have one of, now in my circle of friends, I have the friend who's like our deputy mother.
Deputy mother, yes.
And she sent us messages a couple of days ago, like, guys, what are we doing for December? Okay, if we're going to Cape Town, we need to book now. What are your leave days? I'm like, I don't even know what I'm having for supper.
If you haven't booked by now, you ain't going to Cape Town.
See, this is why.
Well, no, actually, you will get places in Cape Town. Just yesterday or the day before, I was talking to someone who owns a property in Cape Town, and they said that they haven't had a booking all year.
Really?
Yeah, since they, people getting mugged on Table Mountain and, there's a huge crime problem in Cape Town. It's one of the most dangerous cities in the world right now. It makes Joburg look safe by comparison, and tourism is down. Down badly.
Shucks.
So no, you'll probably find it cheaper than any previous year.
And you might also get stabbed, but
Yeah, you could get stabbed. That's a very
good
point.
Take the black and the white, the up and the down.
Yeah, sure. Very nice.
Have you guys even started thinking that far?
No.
Yeah,
in fact, it's kind
too
of
far.
It's kind of upsetting to me that you are, because I feel like now suddenly I have to, there's pressure.
I'm just pushing on the pressure that I felt from her earlier.
Well, I remember the turn of the millennium. Do you remember 2000? 1999, 2000.
This is a bit of a stretch for me.
It's a long time ago, but that was almost 20 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, that's frightening. 20 years? I thought, wow, by the year 2020, we'll definitely have X and Y and Z, and things will be going in this direction.
We'll have sorted out our lives.
Yeah, and we haven't.
Little did we know we'd be having bottle top challenges.
Yeah, exactly.
That
what is the bottle? The bottle top challenge is that one where people kick off the bottle top, or they use their hair, or they use their
to
just get a top off a bottle. Really, that's how much the human race has progressed.
All of human history has brought us to a point where we now use our body parts to take the bottle off. At the top of a bottle. This is brilliant.
That lasted was Tide Pods. We were eating Tide Pods.
Tide Pods, that's right.
Here we are. Yeah. 2020.
Should we be proud of ourselves? I mean, as an actual mother, do you think we should just give it up now? Or should we be really thrilled with where we've come?
The bar was set pretty low just for Y2K. Everyone just wanted to survive, and we did.
Yeah, and
so.
There was nothing. You remember, there was nothing. It was a non-event.
Such all right. Bloody damn squib.
As someone who was four turning 5 years old at that time. I don't remember specifics. I just genuinely remember there was a bit of panic leading up to the 1st of Jan. And very oddly, I remember going to get couscous with my mother. She's just like, we need to stockpile. There's nothing else.
She's stockpiling.
And we went, like, how sad is it if I look back at my childhood? That's like one of the prominent memories. I remember going to stockpile couscous and my uncle stockpiled brandy. And then we called it a day.
Your uncle there, the man had a plan, stockpiling couscous.
That's unbelievable. Dumelo says, morning guys, I love long weekends because of one thing. Campus is empty and I can conduct my experiments with peace. Nothing better than doing lab work and nobody bothering me. It's
nice.
Beautiful.
Ooh.
Wow, Dumelo, sounds good. You have missed more than 1/8 of the show. Unacceptable, says someone on the line here. Who's this? Color.
Color, well, that is very specific.
I figured it out, huh? A lot of people are saying, hey, why are you late?
Okay.
I mean, by this time, this is the thing, though, about August, is it's been such a long year, and it's... We're all tired of winter, and we've all just had enough.
I'm so tired of winter. Thank you.
It's that last little hurdle before the summer comes back, before the joy of sliding towards December comes
but
in.
I felt a little bit of summer this morning. I heard the birds chirping a little bit while I was getting ready for work, which they don't do in the middle of winter. You know, middle of winter, nothing's alive at 4 a.m. Nothing.
Yeah, everyone is just like,
The whole planet is dead at that time of the morning.
But it's been double digits all week.
Yes.
It has. In the morning.
No, it's been warm.
You are so scraping for a silver lining here.
I'm not scraping for a silver lining.
At least it's 11 digits. Degrees.
You know when you wake
nine.
Up and it's 12 degrees? Like, I went for a walk the other day because it was actually warm enough to be outside at 7.
Look, we had the aircon on this week.
Yes, we did.
You had your shirts.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, true. That's how I usher in the warmer weather. I unbuttoned my shirt. No, but yeah, I'm not doing anything at all this weekend. What are you guys up to?
What have we got going on today? I might actually go away for 2 nights. There's a friend of mine over here from America, and he's organized a whole group of us to go away, and I might do that from this afternoon.
Whereabouts?
Just for 2 nights. Like Mpumalanga, but not far Mpumalanga. Like close Mpumalanga.
Mpumalanga is close, man.
Yeah, it's not far. It's not far. So we might do that. And then, by Sunday, I should be nicely rested and back here on Monday. But it is going to go by like this, as the month of August always does. And listen, enough about the weather and the calendar, because those things are inevitable. But I do think that this is, in some ways, when you're building up to summer, it's always better than going away from summer.
Absolutely.
So that's one reason to be excited.
So Spumi has a sick child again, so I don't know what weekend plans are going to be like.
Oh, no, Pums.
Dude, children are disgusting. Like, he's been sick. Oh, but, you know, hook him up. Honey, Mhlonyane.
Yeah.
We've had 2 days of like seriously compromised sleep because like the guy is sick.
And he's getting to that stage now where he can get full-blown man flu. You know man flu is the most dangerous disease on earth.
A tiny man flu is downright scary. I've seen it. I'm looking at him. I'm like, you're actually not as sick as you think you are, guy. But...
Well, Dari, who works in our office, was saying she's got a sick husband and a sick son.
A sick daughter.
Sick daughter, sorry. And she didn't even want to go home.
Yeah.
Oh.
She yesterday was like, I cannot deal with it. And she says her husband's way worse than her daughter. So this man flu is a real thing.
I don't blame her. I've asked my mother to feed me once when I had the man flu.
Do you want some feedback this morning? I always give feedback to people, even if they're not sure they want it. Gugu, do you want some feedback on you?
What about me exactly, guys?
This is from Sibangubukawe.
Oh no!
Oh,
you don't want anything from Sibangubukawe.
Go ahead.
That's quite a name.
That is quite a name.
Good day, guys. Thanks for the show. Always, I really think Gugu is dumb.
I need to correct something.
Sibangubuqawe.
That name.
Sibangubuqawe.
Okay.
Which is actually a very beautiful name.
It's a hell of a thing to pronounce.
Kawe is hero. Yeah.
So that's very nice.
Where, you know.
So just did you hear that, what he said?
I almost bit my tongue trying to say his name.
Thanks for
Bring
the show.
Bring him into studio. Let's see how smart he is.
Okay. Ooh. Thanks for the show. I think Gugu is dumb. How do you like that? Huh? Some feedback this morning. Jeez, some people don't hold back, Gugu.
Gugu, yeah, we don't need really. Violence.
Get
no,
ready.
No, invite him to studio, Gareth.
All right.
I want to meet him.
All right.
Quietly in a corner.
Is that how you solve all of your issues?
Well, yes. Yeah, we talk.
Next thing, you want to take him out to the car park.
Yeah, that'll happen. And then we can all film it and put it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Think that way.
This is good. You can't just go saying
things about...
Living
in 2019.
Yeah, this is also our HR department.
Yeah, but this is not Twitter or social media where you just freaking type things and say things, right?
That's right. There's
got to be consequences for that.
Consequences. Take him on.
Exactly.
You don't strike me as much of a fighter, though.
Sia's been threatening to punch me in the throat lately. I said, bring it, boy. I'll show you.
It just Very does nice. Work as a nice throat every now and then. But I don't feel like you just, like, get so pissed off to the point where you can, like, punch someone.
You know, I've never hit anybody.
Yeah, me too.
You don't look like a fighter.
No, I've never hit anybody.
And but I'm sure you've had encounters where you are threatened.
Oh, I've got close.
Like people just want to start a fight with you.
Yes. Yeah. But then either they see the light or I get out of the way.
Ever.
Yeah.
Forever.
Ever.
Never been in a fight. Not a physical fight.
No. Have you had a fist swung your way?
Yeah.
And you had to duck out.
Yeah. I've avoided it.
You see, even that scares me so
But it was,
much.
It wasn't, to be fair, it wasn't aimed at me. It was like one of those messy, like, situations where some guy is trying to hit some other guy and I was kind of in the way, but I managed to dodge it.
See, have you been in a fight?
Come on, let's put money on that answer.
Can you see him clutching his pearls?
Yeah, he actually running. Clutched his pearls.
Do you know that, for me, what freaks me out the most isn't the actual physical impact of the fist or the slap. It is what you have to do afterwards. I'm man enough to be hit in the face and then go, okay, you've won, and I walk away. But when there's a crowd around you, they wouldn't want that. They'd be like, are you just going to let him hit you? So no.
Yeah, I never care about...
I don't want that.
I've never cared about what the crowd want me to do.
Mm-mm. And the indignity of having to scrape yourself off the floor after you've blacked out and you go, okay, and you have to shuffle away. Mm-mm. I'm not man enough for that.
Well, you know what? I think that if you can avoid a fight, it's always a good idea to get out of one. And there are some people who just can't see a way out of a fight. Like, they have to confront each other, and it has to get physical, and it has to be ugly. And I think if you can get away with not doing that, you save yourself physical pain, possible emotional pain, possible financial pain.
Oh, just a messy situation.
Post-traumatic stress disorder.
I mean, I have a friend who got into a fight with he saw a guy hitting a girl, right? And he got involved to protect the girl. And now he's being sued by the guy who he hit.
At least he's not paralyzed.
He did the right thing by getting involved and, like, hitting this dude who was taking it out on a girl. I think that's appropriate behavior. In fact, it's admirable behavior. But now he's being sued by this dude. He was trying to do the right thing and now he's got problems.
And what's this guy suing him for?
Yeah, for assault. And he says, I was not hitting the girl. But now, of course, the girl who was the girlfriend and was being abused is standing up for the boyfriend who abused her.
Mm.
So this guy, this friend of mine, looks like a bad guy.
I think you get three different kinds of people. You get those who...
Let's take notes.
Yeah. You get the fighter whose first reaction is to kick ass, fuck shit up.
Yeah.
You get the aggressive type who scares the shit out of you but will never fight.
Yeah, has no intention
of actually seeing it through. Yeah, has no intention of fighting. Yeah. And then you get Sia, who fucks off.
Yeah, but of the three, do you know which one's the cleverest?
Uh-huh.
Sia.
I think the middle one.
No,
I'd sometimes lean towards the guy who's the loudmouth, but never does anything.
Yeah.
Like, are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure you want to start with me? See, you have to threaten with that. Meanwhile, not going to throw a punch at all.
You don't have to be the loudmouth, Sia. Sometimes you can just give off a vibe of, I'll kick your ass. Meanwhile, you've got no intentions of fighting.
No.
Okay. I think it's easier that way.
I already have big lips. I can't afford to have them punched and swollen and even bigger. No, it's just not.
Well, we gave you some bad feedback. Here's some good feedback. This is from Tracy.
Ending me with this.
Tracy says, hey, Gareth, Gugu is a firm favorite, and you were very rude to him yesterday. That's Tracy.
Oh, thanks, Tracy. Appreciate that. You're very rude, Gareth.
Was I very rude to you?
I like Tracy already.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, well, what did he say?
And that profile pic of Tracy's is hot.
Yeah, she doesn't look bad, Gugu. You might want to give her a call. I mean, you are still single and looking for some interest.
Good.
Oh, all right. A bunch of stuff to get into this morning. Let's take a look. Yes.
Gareth,
yes.
Are you super excited at the run that Bitcoin is making?
Is it? Let me have a look. $10,528 at the moment. Huh. Okay. That could go up a bit more. I'm not excited yet.
It will. Right. But I mean, it's made some nice kind of upward surge.
Well, you know why? Because everything else is going down. Yeah. Good morning. Who's this?
It's Greg. How are you?
Hey, man. What's up?
Nothing much. I just wanted to ask, why does Sia sound like a World Wrestling Federation announcer when he has a fight?
Do you want to start with me?
Yeah! I can see I come now.
Greg, isn't that threatening, though? Doesn't it work?
No, I would laugh at you and then punch you.
Oh.
Have you been in some fights?
Yeah, I've been in a fight, lost. I got fucked up.
When did it happen?
That was just as long ago, 20 odd years ago. I was assaulted. The guy came from behind, so I was, he's a coward.
That's cowardly. No respect for that.
But I'm man enough to admit I was fucked up. I was chamur.
Did he take you out badly?
Yeah, I know it was bad.
Did anyone see?
Yeah.
Embarrassing.
But you know what, Gareth? Yeah. I'm better off for it because 20 years later, I'm a better man.
You don't get into fights anymore.
No, you know what? I'm actually not a violent person. That was just
a fluke.
Yeah, all right. Okay, thanks, man.
Greg.
I always reckon if you can stay out of one, stay out of one. Here's a quick voice note, and then we've got to get to the five things you need to know today. This... let's just come in now. Let's take a listen.
Many years ago, when I was in the military,
Sean,
we went one evening to a place called Rattlesnakes. And one of my military friends went outside and he saw a guy hitting his girlfriend with a cricket bat.
Sure.
He obviously stopped it and returned the favor with the cricket bat to the oak. Anyway, we all got outside and we got our little piece and we sorted this oak out. And the cops stopped there just to break up the fight. Lo and behold, this girl turned around and suddenly my friend was the aggravator and the guy making the nonsense. And the cops wanted to lock him up. They were trying to put him in the van. It must have been funny for anyone driving past because you had two cops on the inside of the van trying to pull my friend into the van and about five of us on the other side of this oak's arm trying to pull him out of the van. And at some stage, he just shouted, he said in Afrikaans, "Ach fok toch, los hulle net asseblief, julle is besig om my te skeer." So, shame old Flippy will never forget that, neither will we. But yeah, but the point is sometimes, you know, stop it. But if you see a fight, especially where a guy's getting hitting a girl, but don't get too involved because these girls are normally, they'll turn it around and you'll be the problem.
Yeah, that happens. Mm. You get these girls who are in an abusive relationship and then if anyone intercedes, they take their abusive boyfriend's side.
Stockholm.
Yeah, Stockholm Syndrome. That's exactly what it is. And then you end up in way deeper shit for doing the right thing.
But I think if you go to a place named Rattlesnakes,
the
likelihood that there will be a fight is pretty high.
Rattlesnakes. Rattlesnakes.
Such a good point.
Jesus. Stay away from rattlesnakes. All right. Couple of news stories. You ready?
Yeah, bro.
Well, the raid in Johannesburg CBD continues into the night as the police crack down on illegal goods. They were arresting people, apparently.
600 people, apparently.
Yeah, the authorities have praised the success of Wednesday's raid in the Joburg CBD. About 600 people, as Pumi says, are behind bars. Thousands of counterfeit items have been seized and a cache of firearms was discovered.
Dude!
I've said already,
Rifles.
Yeah, I know. Listen, I'm really struggling with this one because I'm not on the side of the police. And we chatted last week and Gugu was telling me he's been into the CBD and he's bought stuff there. And, you know, these people get harassed by the cops all the time. They get extorted. They sometimes have all their goods seized. Now, let me ask you this and be honest. Don't bullshit me. If guys are selling counterfeit Hong Kong goods and you buy them, are they wrong for selling them? Are you wrong for buying them, or are you both wrong? Because there's obviously an appetite for these Hong Kong goods, right? There's obviously a bunch of people who want them.
Of course.
So
yeah, we can't all.
Who's
Gucci.
Bad? So exactly. So who's bad here? Is it the vendor, or is it the person who's buying it?
Everybody.
Hmm.
Because it's a relationship, right? It's like corruption. And it's a relationship. Everybody that's in the relationship is wrong. But
supply and demand.
So a couple of years ago, maybe a little bit more. Do you know Setkas? That
yes, furniture shop, right?
Yeah, it's a furniture shop. So those guys that own Setkas actually had a court case with Louis Vuitton and Polo, I think, and one other brand.
Yeah.
And they won the court case.
What was it on the basis
of? It was about counterfeit. Mm-hmm. It was about counterfeit goods. And it was about the fact that they were bringing in. So, I mean, when you go into the East where all the factories are, they also have kind of factory spoiled goods, right? Which is not counterfeit. It's just, it's not going to be sold through.
It's damaged
or whatever. So it's not going to be sold at the Louis Vuitton store. But then you can still buy that stuff and you can sell it for a lower price. And his fight was about who has the license to bring in those goods into the country and sell them.
And Setkas won?
He won.
So in other words, some of this stuff isn't necessarily illegal, even if it isn't, you know, 100% the real perfectly packaged product.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think if there's a market for something, there's a market for it. And there's nothing more powerful than the free market. So if someone's buying counterfeit goods, then there's going to be someone selling counterfeit goods. And that relationship doesn't need to have anything to do with government. I know that that's very controversial. Probably won't go down well with the police. It's never going to be a good enough excuse. But that's how I feel. I don't see how the police have anything to do with this. The police have a job, especially the Metro Police and the CBD, to keep the Metro clean and to keep it safe and to keep people in a state of abiding by the law. But these counterfeit goods, I don't think that's an issue.
Yeah, we have bigger fish to fry.
I mean, it's really just protecting big corporate interests. And I don't care if Louis Vuitton lose a couple of million rand on counterfeit goods. I really don't care. Because the people who are buying the real ones don't mind paying the price that they're paying for the real ones. And the people buying the knockoffs don't mind paying the price they do for the knockoffs. And the people who are selling them are going to some trouble to get those knockoffs.
Yeah, I think it's Armani. He had a similar quote about that he doesn't care about people who buy counterfeit anything.
Really?
Because it's not his market. It's not his market. He knows who his market is, and he creates for his market.
If you buy Hong Kong stuff, you don't care about the real thing.
If you buy care about the real thing, you're not going to buy the Hong Kong stuff.
Exactly. Thank you. And we all know that the real thing lasts longer than the Hong Kong anyway. All right, so that's what's going on. Becky Taylor said the police will not be intimidated.
Yeah, that was before his big announcement that something like, because of their verification system and a flaw in the verification system, some 3,000 South African police nationwide actually have criminal records.
Of course.
No.
And you know that most of the illegal guns are illegal guns that come from the police's cache.
Wait, I didn't hear that.
Yep.
So wait, the there are people who've been employed in the SAPS
who have criminal records.
Do you think this is a real flaw, or they were just employing people and going, oh, okay, whatever, yeah, it's fine?
No, it's just another indication of just how it's completely careless.
Yeah, verification.
No. Government don't know what they're doing. The Directorate for Priority Crime Investigation confirmed on Wednesday they're investigating public protector Busisiwe Mkhwebane. The probe relates to criminal charges of perjury and defeating the ends of justice. The charges were laid by anti-corruption group Accountability Now. Of course, Cyril's sitting there going, yay. So, let's follow that one, but we can pick up on a little more detail in the Burning Platform later on. The credit rating, which everyone's been talking about, has been discussed by Reserve Bank Governor Lesetša Kanyago, who says he's optimistic about the economy. That's as Moody's dealt Eskom another blow. The credit ratings agency has painted a bleak picture for the country in the review of its power utilities' financial results. This has caused some rand weakness. Our credit rating, according to Lesetša Kanyago, is in our hands. A credit rating is an outcome of the policies you have, how you execute them, and whether they eventually deliver what you had said you were going to deliver. Because a ratings agency has to take a view of what's likely to happen. He says if the government are able to deliver on promises, it would determine the rating. Okay, and moving on to another story, because there's no point commenting on that. The South African Human Rights Commission is warning Hammanskraal residents that the water in the area is unfit for consumption. Gauteng Human Rights Commission manager Bwang Jones says that some of the water determinants can cause chronic health conditions. Yo, you know when you can't drink the water, it's probably time to move. Because that's not a good place to be. You have to boil the water and you're not sure if it's got lead in it and... Yay. Some of the drinking water is not compliant with various tests that they've done. Water sampling was conducted in several places in the area, including the Temba Water Treatment Works, Gikana Primary School, Refense Clinic, and the Hammanskraal Secondary School. The city of Tswane has responded to the concerns raised by the commission and has assured the residents that the efforts to improve the quality of water will continue. Let's see what happens there. That's a very scary situation when you can't drink the water. And finally, Microsoft said its contractors listen to conversations to hone voice translation features offered by Skype and its digital Cortana, the assistant, you know, like Cortana's the Alexa or the Siri of Microsoft, but only when obtaining user permission. Huh, do you believe that?
You see, it's like those terms and conditions. Before you can download an app, before you
don't read them.
No one reads that shit. No. And if you don't agree to the terms and conditions, you can't use the app. So who knows what you give up when you sign up onto those terms and conditions?
I could get on the phone and talk to Pumi and they're listening to me to use, they say, use the voice patterns so that they can build in some extra voice recognition, right? But maybe they're actually just listening to what I'm saying to Pumi.
You know what the weirdest thing is, Gareth? I had something happen last weekend. I was at this bike dealership chilling with the guys. These chicks come along and ask to take pictures with the bikes. We say, sure.
These young ladies.
These young ladies. These chicks. You know what I'm saying?
No.
And they say, hey, boy, come through. Be in the picture with us. I took a picture with these chicks who I don't know
young
from a tin
ladies.
Of beans.
Yeah.
Young ladies, Pumi. Thank you. And the next day, Facebook notifies me and says, there's a picture of you that you might want to tag yourself in. I look at the picture. It's the picture that was taken the day before. So what Facebook is doing now is using facial identification, whatever it is, whatever it's called. And it actually identifies you in pictures that you aren't tagged in.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
Greg, who works here, Greg has actually
Face
got
app.
A... Yeah, Greg is on Google's cloud.
Yeah.
And what it does, it actually sorts out your photos and it tracks you wherever you go because it geotags you where you take a photo.
Yeah.
So if you take a photo in the CBD, for example, and the next day you're in Krugersdorp and the next day you're in Durban,
it follows
you.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can imagine this is essentially the best surveillance software in the world. And if these big tech companies, as we are led to believe, are in cahoots with American intelligence agencies and we're volunteering all this information... They don't even have to employ spies anymore.
Enemy of the state.
Suddenly
Will
we're
Smith
all...
Smith tried to warn us.
Right. You remember that movie? That's right.
But, you know, although my thing, right, at this point in time in 2019 is I think we have to reconfigure the way that we think about what private information is and what access to individuals is about. So we kind of have to rethink it. We can no longer be as strict and about right. What, so maybe the private information in your life is your PIN to your ATM code or whatever, but actually all of this other stuff, because you can't do anything. You can't do anything about it. You can't access the stuff that you want to access. And if you don't give up.
And why get upset about it? Right. I mean, like, I don't think they're going to find anything on me that's going to be particularly damaging or dangerous. I mean, go for it. Whatever I've done, I'm happy for you to find out about.
Yeah, so I got an email, one of those phishing emails, saying, we have access to your computer and we've seen your history and everything that you've been searching on the web. And I was just like, you know what?
Go for it.
I'm sure you think something exciting happens. And because you think that, I know you don't have access to my cash.
But you know with those, you've just got to ignore them, right?
I'm like,
you know that.
I ain't on Pornhub. Yeah. And even if I was, nobody that I associate with is interested in me searching up widgets.
I don't even care if you see what I look up on Pornhub. How about that?
It's just like,
I don't give a shit.
Absolutely no one I associate with is interested in the fact that I'm searching up whatever,
All right, we've got lots of messages here, but I want to quickly go to Junior Kumalo, who is a political journalist at the City Press. Hey, Junior, how are you this morning?
Hi, Gareth, how are you?
Good, thanks, man. I wanted to chat to you because we were talking about the CBD and the public who got to see heavily armed law enforcement going into the Joburg CBD, the arrest of hundreds of undocumented foreign nationals, the confiscation of counterfeit goods, unlicensed firearms. And I thought you were on the scene. Maybe you can give us a little bit more about what you actually saw live.
When it happened. Okay, good morning and good morning to the listeners. It was a very busy day in Joburg yesterday, and the police were very heavy-handed. They were going to all the shops and confiscating heavy-handed. They were very, very rough on all those people.
Yeah, I mean, and do you mean that they got violent, or like, they were just rushing them, pushing them into vehicles?
Police brutality, kind of heavy-handed.
How heavy-handed?
There were moments where they were very like police brutality kind of. So that's why some of the people, even the journalists, were asking, is this like a kind of a revenge for what happened last week when the foreign nationals were attacking the police? Because people were like, okay, this is a bit like police brutality type. So, yeah, it was a bit hard. But the police minister did try and explain, which is some of these buildings that they were going into, it wasn't even just counterfeit goods that were being sold. They also found that there was human trafficking that was happening in the building. So I guess that's why there was a need for some force. And there were also people who had guns, because they uncovered about 7 rifles, I think, and some machine guns, handguns, and that was on Medical One building in Joburg, along Old GP Road.
Now, we know that this raid was conducted by the SAPS, the JMPD, SARS Customs, and Gauteng Traffic Police. I mean, that's a hell of a confederation of law enforcement. Who was in charge of this mission, though? There had to be someone who was leading this assault. Was it Bheki Cele and the South African police, or was it led by the
Mashaba,
the Mashaba and the JMPD, or was it something much more collaborative?
From what they said, it seemed like it was the police minister and the SAPS who were more in charge of the raids that happened. Because Mashaba wasn't even there on the day. Yes, the Metro Police was there, but it seemed like the police minister was taking over, and David Makura, the premier, was also there as well. So it seemed like it was more coordinated from that side.
And during the raid, they got all these undocumented foreign nationals. They were arrested and sent to the Joburg Central Police Station. Have they all been locked up? Are they still in there?
Yes, most of them were, yesterday they were locked up, they were processed, and the police had promised to send all the media details of how many people were arrested yesterday. So far, we haven't gotten all that information, but I'm thinking we're going to get something today. And when we spoke to some in the police, they were saying that the raids were going to continue even until today.
Junior, you know, this is one of my biggest bugbears about these kinds of raids. And what we're seeing reported is that 600 foreign nationals were arrested. There were no South Africans arrested? Is that what, because that's what this thing is implying. It's implying that everybody that was arrested is a foreign national and they are undocumented. Like there was not a single South African doing something wrong.
The number 600, I'm a bit skeptical about that.
It's a nice round number as well. Yeah, sure.
That much people. We didn't see that much people getting arrested. Because from what we saw, it was maybe less than 50 people that were arrested. Going back to your question, there were some South African nationals who were arrested on the scene because people started looting shops as well. So when that happened, police had to try and control the crowd. There was violence that emanated from there, and some South African nationals were arrested on the scene.
Yeah, I'll bet they were. And I'll bet you a lot of these South African nationals are the reason that we've got this violence in the CBD in the first place.
Like, I'm interested to know also, like, as they're arresting people, are they arresting shopkeepers? Are they arresting people working in shops? Like, or is it just arresting everybody?
When they were doing the raids, so they would go into a shop and they would ask for documentation. So from the shop owners, from the people that worked in the shop. So if you don't have like documentation that allowed you to be in the country legally, then they took the people into the vans. So I'm guessing they were just arresting anyone who didn't have any legal papers that allowed them to be in South Africa.
Oh, that doesn't sound like the reason that you'd go into the CBD and arrest a bunch of people.
Mm.
I mean, you're trying to find people who are breaking the law, not people who are just illegal immigrants, and that's the reason they're breaking the law. I mean, I don't know. This whole thing is just... I like the idea of law and order, and I want that to be part of our life, because otherwise everybody is just in anarchy and chaos. But at the same time, this seems to me like this is the government cracking down on the weakest people in society again.
Always.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Well, I'm sure
even when they asked,
Even when they asked.
No, I was saying that even when they asked the police minister, why don't you go and do this at China Mall? Because in China Mall, that's where you find most of the counterfeit goods. Why you crack it down on like the vulnerable foreign shop owners in like the CBD? Because he can do the same in China Mall. And his response was, I'm not sure whether they do sell counterfeit goods at China Mall. We have to look into that. So there was also that. You're not sure whether you're taking advantage of the fact that these people don't have maybe lawyers. And China Mall, when you go there, I'm sure you'd face people who have bigger businesses with bigger legal teams as well.
Absolutely.
Junior, thank you very much for your time, man. Are you going back to the CBD today?
Thank you so much. I will definitely go back and see what's happening there.
Yeah, cool, man. Keep an eye for us. Thank you very much. Junior Khumalo is the political journalist at the City Press. Thank you for your update this morning. The unemployment rate for youths with a higher education qualification between 15 and 24 is sitting at 31%. That's young people with a higher education qualification. 31%. That's an increase of 11.4% quarter on quarter. So we've got to ask, is higher education still the key to success for young people? That's what they keep telling us. Well, it's the latest topic on The Interchange, which I know Pumi loves. I know you love it too. It's a podcast series featuring some of the best university debaters debating critical and controversial issues in South Africa and Africa as a whole. Listen to The Interchange at cliffcentral.com. It's also on our app or wherever you get your podcasts, and it's made possible by Absa and Tsimong. If you haven't heard that show yet, you need to. First of all, hearing young, brilliant, intellectual and intelligent people discussing the issues in society rather than hearing the dreck that you get on Twitter will first of all inspire you to believe that there aren't just morons in this country. Second of all, you'll hear them talking about the subjects most relevant and most controversial that everyone's usually scared to address.
And debate.
Yes.
With in the confines of
the proper rules.
Debate without right. howling.
Yes, thank you very much.
Good morning, Canthan.
Canthan had a sleep on our sofa just a second ago.
Good morning, guys. I wanted to give Pumi an opportunity to catch a picture of me with the Hong Kong handbag.
It's what? What
are is that? Is your about? Is your handbag Hong Kong?
No, it's branded. It's not even branded. It's from like a street mall in Germany.
I unreservedly withdraw.
Okay, good. You're making terrible allegations here. Listen, a little later on, Helen Ziller may come in and join us. We've got an interview scheduled with her, but if she arrives early enough, she can be part of the Burning Platform 2 this morning. Canthan Pillay and Pumi Mashego are our obvious return contenders, and you can join in the discussion and the conversation by sending us a message on 079-748-2090. Someone says here, when you arrest so many people, how do you know who to charge for the various crimes?
Well, if they're undocumented, how do you know that they're illegal?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, do you carry ID when you're walking in the streets?
Precisely, precisely. Gareth, you seem to be experiencing some cognitive dissonance. You often bemoan law enforcement for doing nothing. Now they're doing something. They confiscated illegal weapons, possibly interrupted a human trafficking ring and made us all a little safer. How do you find an issue with this, Carl? No, Carl. I'm not saying they shouldn't be doing their job, don't get me wrong, and this is the purpose of police, is to go in and to deal with people who have broken the law. That is essentially the whole reason we have police. What I'm saying is that this is low-hanging fruit, and government always seem to be able to do the thing which requires the least energy and gets them the most credit. We know we live in a country full of xenophobia. We live in a country where South Africans, black and white, think they're better than everyone else from this continent. And they are in this country because people from the rest of the continent struggle and suffer far more than we do. And what do the police do? They target these people because they're at the bottom end of society. It's too easy. And what bothers me about it is it seems so unfair, Carl. I can't believe you wouldn't see that.
And I mean, just speaking to Junior, so Junior has confirmed that there was no, it was all indiscriminate. You know, it was just
absolutely.
Like walking in, where's your documents? Who are you? We're taking you in. It's like, it's
well,
wrong,
we've been
guys.
Discussing this on Twitter yesterday, and one of the comments that came in my direction was loss of control over borders, allowing counterfeit goods and undocumented people into the country. High unemployment, lawlessness, economic stagnation, political disillusionment, 25 years of left-wing government. Not surprising that people are cheering on a show of authority. And, you know, it really sort of comes down to that, that, you know, we're so desperate to look for something actually being done that, you know, when we see stuff being done, we sort of start getting cheerful, even though some of us who say, hang on a second.
Even though it's trampling on the rights of people, even though it is. And Junior says police brutality in the streets of Joburg. I mean, for.
By the way, the same Carl says, do you think it's okay for them to sell counterfeit goods? Both sides are wrong, but the fix is to stop the root cause, which is the supply. They have to stop this shit, Carl.
That worked very well for drugs, didn't it?
Yeah, but this is my point. If there's a demand for a certain product, even if it's counterfeit, then someone's going to find a way to supply it. You cannot argue with that. You can't stem that tide. And whose side are you on, Carl? Are you on the side of big corporations who want to protect their intellectual property? Because, of course, that's doing huge physical harm to people. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think the law has to be applied, and it has to be applied fairly and equally. The problem is, it is not applied fairly and equally. Mm. It's applied indiscriminately. And that, to me, is as egregious as having no law enforcement at all. Because the next thing, they could be knocking on your door and arresting you for something that you're not even sure you're being arrested for. Oh, I didn't have my ID on me at the time.
I never have an ID. If I didn't drive, I wouldn't. You know what I'm saying? Well, if I wasn't driving around, because that's the only form of ID I have is a license.
Yeah.
But nobody messes with Zulus for me, you know that.
All right. When we come back, we're going to get on with it. The Burning Platform. I thought I'd give you some Temptations this morning.
I thought you were going to play us the year 2000.
All right. You've put me off now. No, we will come back with the Burning Platform. That's next. Stick around.
This is CliffCentral.com.